Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness.
Lesson 155, United by Separation. In our last lesson, we learned that Paul was motivated to serve the Lord due to his hope in a future glorified body, facing Christ at the judgment seat, and by the love of Christ. Today, Paul continues a defense of his gospel ministry and calls on his Christian friends in Corinth to unite their hearts to him and separate from all that God hates. Today's title, United by Separation, may seem like a self-contradictory statement, what we call in English an oxymoron. We shall find plenty of these oxymoron type of statements in today's chapter, teaching us that there are many paradoxes associated with working for the Lord in a world that rejects Him. It is through our union with Christ that we must separate ourselves from all that is contrary to Him. So indeed, unity is promoted by separation. Paul continues his defense to the Corinthians, sharing how he would declare the gospel faithfully, pleading for people to turn to the Lord. When preaching, Paul would make use of a quotation from Isaiah that called people to respond to God's salvation today. The gospel message is not to be treated lightly, as though it is something we can put off while we think about it. As we hear the Spirit pleading with our souls to come to Christ for salvation, we must immediately respond and accept the invitation, for now is the day of salvation. Today is the time when salvation has been offered. Isaiah was prophesying about the messianic age when God would send forth His salvation to all. Since you and I live in that age of which Isaiah spoke, we must believe in Christ and receive this salvation today. Having shown the Corinthians how he was faithful and urgent in his gospel preaching, none among them should find any offense, for Paul's gospel ministry was without blame. Paul had shown to everyone that he was a minister for God, not by great achievements, but what he had suffered for the sake of the gospel, which he enumerates, speaking of his patience, tribulations, needs, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, sleeplessness, and fasting. He also defends his divine mission by the manner of his conduct and his godly character, speaking of his purity, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, obedience to the Holy Spirit, sincere love, words of truth, divine enablement, and righteousness which protected him on every side. Paul will now list many paradoxes he faced in his ministry for the Lord. We shall briefly explain these paradoxes. He was honored by believers, but dishonored by those who hated Christianity. Some spoke evil of Paul, yet others reported well about his work for Christ. Some thought he was a deceiver of the people, and others knew him to be a man of the truth. Paul was not known to those who did not care about the gospel, but was well known wherever the gospel spread. He faced death constantly in his ministry, but was still very much alive. He also faced persecutions wherever he traveled, but no one managed to take his life. There were many things to bring him sorrow, but so much more to cause him to rejoice always. He lived poorly, yet shared the greatest riches by preaching the hope of eternal life. Paul had almost no earthly wealth or possessions, yet in Christ he possessed all things. While reviewing his list of credentials as a faithful minister for God, he now cannot help crying out from the depth of his heart to his Corinthian friends, saying he had opened his heart wide to them. Indeed, he had exposed his heart and shown all that he suffered for the gospel and for them. He said that their love for him was not as overflowing as his love for them. And so he calls on them to open their hearts wide to him. Often men who work for God share their heart's affections liberally with others, only to find that those who receive of the bounty of God's love are reluctant to respond with the same love. We might wonder if God's heart is saddened after all that He has given to man, and yet man still rejects His love and turns away from Him. Paul felt this sting in his heart as he longed to see the Corinthians respond to God's love through himself. In the final few verses of this chapter, Paul will talk about separation from all that is ungodly, And we might wonder how this relates to his defense of his ministry. It would appear that some in Corinth had also tried to win over the Corinthians' affections and lead them to question Paul, his apostleship, and gospel ministry. Paul recognizes these false teachers as the work of the enemy, seeking to corrupt and destroy God's work among the Corinthians. So Paul writes with an appeal from his affections, but also with a stern warning to separate themselves from these evil associations. These false teachers are identified by Paul as unbelievers and lawless men who follow Satan and practice idolatry. Therefore, Paul calls for separation from these false teachers, showing that Christians cannot have fellowship with unbelievers, lawlessness, Satan, or idols. It is important for Christians to understand the need for separation from everything that does not agree with our Lord Jesus Christ. To give our hearts to anything that denies or defames our Lord is to compromise our fellowship with Christ. This principle can be applied to any human relationship or partnership, such as marriage or a business partnership. When Christians join with unbelievers, they will end up sinning against the Lord and dishonoring His name. It can be very costly to forsake relationships and partnerships in order to be faithful to Christ, but God understands this and says He will be a father to us, and we shall be His sons and daughters. In a special way, God will honor those who sacrifice to be loyal to Him. God calls upon us to cleanse ourselves from every filthiness of the flesh and spirit. This means we must not be joined with anyone, any company, or association that rejects or resists the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness will grow stronger and stronger in a believer as he walks in the fear of God, rejecting all that is opposed to God and His righteousness. God wants us to be His dear and beloved children, without the smell of the world and its idolatry upon us. He has much greater plans for us, and He is jealous for our affection. Will you open your heart to God today by placing your trust in Jesus as your Savior? For He says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2.
Righteousness is what I long for.
Now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we heard Paul defending his gospel ministry, by which he pleaded with men to respond to the gospel without delay, according to the prophecy of Isaiah. He also spoke of the integrity of his ministry by those things he suffered for the sake of the gospel, calling on the Corinthians to open their hearts to him, as he had done for them. Someone might ask the question, what is an unequal yoke? When Paul passionately appeals to his brothers and sisters at Corinth to open their hearts to him, he urges them to separate from all evil associations. Though not plainly stated, it does seem to imply that there were those at Corinth that were seducing the Corinthian believers to follow their false teaching and reject Paul and his ministry as an apostle. These false teachers were a great danger to the Corinthians because Paul could discern that these were unbelievers and their schemes were from Satan and involved idolatry. Paul is zealous to protect his spiritual children from the wolves in sheep's clothing, he feels compelled not only to defend his ministry as being from the Lord, but also calls on the Corinthians to separate themselves from these evil men. A yoke is a wooden frame that ties together farm animals such as cattle to pull a plow or perform some other job. The Old Testament law forbade the Jews from placing two different kinds of animals together into one yoke, such as a donkey and an ox, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Although each animal has its own strength and can perform some helpful task, they cannot be yoked together. The yoke would not be even, and the animals would both get injuries. Their shoulders are at different heights, and their strength is not the same, and their walking is also different. It would be very uncomfortable for the animals, and would likely not accomplish much at all. This putting together of different animals under the same yoke is called an unequal yoke. Paul mentions this to the Corinthians so that they would get a picture of what it would be like if they joined themselves together with unbelievers. They would only get hurt and not accomplish anything. Besides, there is no real fellowship between a believer and an unbeliever. This is especially important for young Christian men and women to consider as they think about choosing their marriage partner. The scripture here would not permit a Christian to enter into marriage with an unbeliever. Some people may already be married before they became a Christian, and so they find themselves married to an unbeliever. The Bible says in such cases the believer should not try to leave the marriage, but do their best to maintain the marriage peacefully for the spiritual benefit of their children. If the unbeliever wants to leave the marriage, then the Christian can let them go without dishonoring the Lord. If two men want to start a business together, then it is important that they have the same values and goals. And so a Christian man would not want to join in business with an unbeliever, since this will likely bring conflict of values and purpose. The Christian needs to be careful and wise about whom he chooses to partner with, so that he does not find himself working with or for the devil, rather than for the Lord. The Lord is jealous for our love and devotion, and we must be careful to make sure we are yoked together with Christ and not with ungodly people who are enemies of Christ. The unequal yoke also includes our associations with sinners, our knowledge and view of the world and its entertainment, our respect and allegiance to worldly men and authorities. To honor Christ will often require a Christian to take a clear stand in opposition to ungodly people and their practices. This will create some offense and make the Christian stand out as different, and perhaps even the target of ridicule and persecution. This is a necessary price to pay to be loyal to Christ. A Christian should never by his actions or words show that he is in agreement with those who are at war with God. When Paul could see the infiltration of these ungodly people among the Corinthian believers, he calls on the believers to come out from among them. This calling out is something every Christian must do. We must remove ourselves from certain activities, places, and people who do not honor God. For instance, a young man who has become a Christian may have once gone to the beer bar with his friends, but now he knows he must restrict himself and not enter that place, for he knows that in the bar Christ is not honored but blasphemed and men practice sin. This is no place for a believer to join as though he were just one of the drinking boys. A person may have been involved with idol worship, but after they become a believer they are to forsake all their false religion and superstitions. Some Christians, when they get into trouble, think they need to go to a fetish priest or witch doctor to help solve their problems, but this would be consulting with Satan. Should a Christian consult with Satan to solve his problems? Certainly this is dishonoring to the Lord, and so Christians are commanded to come out from among them. Do not associate with anything or anyone who practices what is evil. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans 10:9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins, and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Yours to yours, O Lord.
We have a truth to live for, a promise to defend.